Thanks for joining us. This is Notepad. My name is Ibrahim Sani. It's 2023 and we're done with the outlook for the year, but of course we're trying to understand a little bit better in terms of how businesses can continue to thrive in this year after 2 to 3 years of COVID pandemic related issues. One of them is of course business turnaround. Joining us in the studio this morning is Vivek Sashindran, the MD or Managing Director of VAT Capital Sinabahat. Vivek, thanks for taking the time to come over to the show to talk about business turnover and perhaps how businesses can thrive in the year. But before we jump into all that, maybe you can share with us a little bit better about VAT Capital Sinabahat. What do you guys do and what do you guys strive for?
Thanks for having us today, Ibrahim. VAT has been around since 2012. I started the company in 2012, but it was not initially a turnaround management company. It was doing banking outsource. But I personally went through 3 brink of bankruptcies, which actually triggered me to go into this business. Because in every downturn that I faced, I realized there was a lesson to be learned. Then I started doing it for friends, business friends, and then it became a business in 2016.
So is it fair to say that VAT Capital initially started off as a business process outsourcing kind of company, but now it's a consulting company?
Yes.
All right. And let's go through with some of the lessons that you've learned, that you mentioned. What are the kind of lessons that you picked up considering that you went through this whole tumultuous period yourself throughout this period?
So the main thing when you go through a downturn, right, people tend to shut off, right? It's a crisis management, right? It's how you manage this crisis. So I realized a lot of times, even until today, when I do it, I realize people are just focusing on the problem, right? Yes, you should focus on the problem, but you're not looking out for a solution as well, right? So what we usually do today is we go in, we do a quick diagnosis on the company to understand where are the problems, right? Then we start attacking the problems. We work on the problems. We start working out with their lenders, okay? Their creditors, also their debtors, because all these things need to be managed, right? And a lot of times I see people neglect the statutory payments because they are firefighting.
But how to address the statutory payments when cash flow is a big problem?
Yes, so that is the first thing, right? You need to approach them, right? You need to approach them, you need to start talking to them, right? There are legal approaches that we use as well because I'm actually legally qualified. So we work with a team of professionals, right? So we also have our legal, our tax, and our finance guys that work together on every client that we work on, right? So we go in, we identify the problem, and then we start giving the solution. You must be very firm because directors, when they're facing a problem, they're always all over the place.
How did you overcome your own personal issues when it comes to going through these financial difficulties in your career?
To be very fair, the first time I wanted to give up, right? Because the debt was huge, and I was of a very young age of 26 years old. And I mean, I had the support of my family, so that's where I took the courage to come up. I started approaching everyone that we owed money to, started working out structure, we worked out schemes with them. Everyone just wants to discuss, everyone wants to hear from you, even the banks, right? Even the statutory bodies, even your income tax, your EPFs and all that, they want to hear from you. They're willing to help from you, so you should not avoid them. Avoiding them just makes the problem bigger.
I've interviewed AKPK before, and that was the first point that they talked about, which is to reach out to the statutory bodies and some bodies like AKPK to actually address these kind of problems, talk to the creditors to see where things can be changed. But of course, that's personal finance. Do you feel that there is no difference when it comes to business finance as well?
It's a different proposal, but it's the same methodology, right? And it's art of negotiating with the financial institutions. They, at the end of the day, want back their investment from you, right? They want their loan back from you, right? It's how you negotiate with them. They don't want you to die because then it becomes a bad debt either, right? So it's all about how you negotiate with them. It's how you create a scheme that is palatable by them.
Okay, falling back to your experience, did you have employees when you were going through these difficulties?
A lot of them.
So how do you manage that kind of expectations as well?
So I've always been a person who looks out for my employees, right? During all 3 turbulence, the problem I had, my staff didn't want to leave me, even though I couldn't afford them, right? So I had to talk to them that you have families to feed, you have, you know, commitments to meet, and at this moment the company is facing severe problems, right? So we managed them, we talked them out of it, asked them to find better opportunities. This was for the first two. The third one was a bit more better managed. But the first two, I had to talk to them because some of them were okay to ride it out with the company.
It seems like there is a consistency here. Negotiation either with debtors, financial institutions, or your own internal stakeholders like your staff is critical. Where do you feel the kind of negotiation needs to be centered on? Is it the prospects of the company, the troubles that the company is facing, or the kind of deals that needs to be done, i.e. giving motivation to the stakeholders?
Actually, all needs to be done simultaneously. That's why there has to be a concrete plan, right? Mm. There has to be a concrete plan, and you cannot deviate from the plan, right? Your goal has to be very precise. Mm. You need to understand where you want to achieve, how you want to achieve it, and you have to execute it accordingly, right? You can't deviate from the plan. The moment you start making deviations, that's when the problem starts because the goal is not clear anymore.
How often do you see plans deviate from the original path because of, say, panicking moments and many others?
So we always have to be firm. When we are engaged, we always tell the stakeholders, please, let us do our job in order for us to achieve that goal for you, right? Because they tend to come in and try to correct what you're doing because they're afraid of the change that you're bringing. You know, a lot of people are scared of change, right? So they don't know what to anticipate. They are afraid to try a part that they have not seen, right? So that's where we have a big problem, right? So we always have to ask them to not interfere with the plan, right? So that we are able to achieve it.
All right, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with VAT Capital's Nyan Bahat. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me in the studio Vivek Sashindran, the MD of VAT Capital. We're talking about business transformation here. We're looking at some of the ideas on going into the plan for business turnaround. You were talking about the plan has to be solid and not deviate. You were talking about some of the plans having to have to address a few issues. What goes into a plan when it comes to business turnaround, the kind of ingredients that you need to put together?
All right, so we need to identify firstly what is the big problem here. Is it there is a business problem? Is there a financial problem? Or is it a mixture of both, right? Especially post-pandemic, right? You see a lot of things have changed from consumer behavior, from spending patterns, a lot of things. Is your business evolving with the times, right? Is that the reason your business is dropping, right? So we need to identify the problems. Next, we need to understand what is critical, right? Usually when they come to us, it's already very critical, right? The cash flow is a problem, making payments are a problem. So we need to stop the external problems that are coming towards the company, right? Then we need to see how to inject fresh blood into the company because you need revenue to pay off these debts because these debts are not going to pay off by itself, right? So we need to come up with a plan, first stop the fire from spreading and then inject new blood into the company.
Do you feel that it's the same across sectors or some sectors have some peculiarities?
No, some sectors are different, to be honest. It cannot be said that this thumb rule applies to all.
And let's talk about the sectors that might be different.
IT, for me, is one thing that is different because it's very fast moving, fast changing. So some of it is also, anything consumer related is very, very, it changes very fast, right? So you have to adapt with times. You can't just say that, okay, we do this for the next 5 to 10 years, it's not going to happen, right? You see businesses that did not evolve, they end up from hero to zero, right? It just shuts down overnight, right? And when you speak to the founders, they don't understand what happened, right? What caused the change. But things are changing so fast, right? You need to evolve, right? Like now, people are so used to paying with e-wallet. If you don't adapt to that, you know, there will be a certain impact to you as well.
Maybe you can share with us one or two case studies that you've worked on before so that people can get a bit better illustration in terms of the work that you do for the clients that is facing the kind of financial difficulties.
Right. So without mentioning any names, we went into this company. what we did for the company was they were heavily being chased by the banks, right?
Okay. What was this company doing?
They were in slightly in the automotive industry.
Okay.
They were supporting the automotive industry.
Okay, go on.
So they did not evolve fast enough, but the automotive industry was moving faster than them. So they started to feel a dip in the business volume, right? So we went in, and then they had a lot of assets which were financed by the banks. So thinking that this was assets, right? These assets were actually causing an impact on the business as well, because the payments versus the actual revenue generated from these assets, which were not contributing to the business, became a downfall to the business itself.
Yeah.
Right, so we had to break it down and have to get rid of these assets,
yeah,
which were causing a burden to the company.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then coupled with that, they also had their problems where they were owing to statutory bodies like the income tax and the customs and the EPFs. We had to sit down with them, come up with a plan that was feasible. Right, change the way we had to inject new ways of doing business, and it was back on track within 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
18 months. It was not instant because there was quite a bit of damage done initially. After that, it was much better after 18 months.
What was the impetus in terms of them having a turnaround? I mean, of course, restructuring how financing the assets is going to be done, perhaps even leasing it or even renting it, that could be one element. But what changed in terms of the business environment? Did they pick up things from the industry that they need to evolve from?
Yes, they did. They did. They changed the way they did. They changed
even
the product offerings changed, right? They used to be so fixated in giving things that they have been doing for the last 10 years, but these things became irrelevant in the automotive industry, right? So they had to find new ways, which we sat down with them and drew up a plan with them. Since they were already working with the automotive industry, they didn't need to reinvent the wheel. They just need to reinvent the offerings that they were providing to the automotive industry.
So case studies like this, right? How hard is it in trying to persuade the management in terms of trying to approach a new way of doing things, a new
way
of thinking?
Very, very tough.
So talk to us through that.
Yeah, so usually we were brought in by a recommendation of previous clients.
Mm.
And then when we go in, we speak to the key holders, which usually the directors and the shareholders are the same people, right? Very, very rare cases, the shareholders are different people.
Yeah.
So speaking to them, they like the idea, but once we start moving, then they start getting worried because we're making big changes, right? That's where we start to face a problem because they start to tell us to either stop or slow down, right? But we can't. We need to be very firm. We need to give them the ultimatum. It's either do or we exit.
How often do you walk away from deals?
I would say quite often, actually, because it as I told you, this is a big problem for us.
Mm.
Where the interference of the existing directors or shareholders who don't want to allow us to execute the task in hand. So we do walk away often.
Why do you make it a point to make business turnaround the key proposition for VAT Capital? What's in it for you guys?
So we have supporting ecosystem, right? We have the legal, we have finance, we have the marketing. All these are separate subsidiaries under us as well. So all these have their own portfolios, but I use all these entities as well in my turnarounds as well. So it's lucrative, especially if you can turn it to a positive cash flow. It's a lucrative business because we give our terms up front before we take up an engagement. So I have enjoyed doing it for the last 7 years now, and I look forward to doing it for a couple more years.
Okay, one more short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Vivek Seshinren. Thanks for continuing with us. I have with me Vivek of VAT Capital. Let's talk a little bit more about the economic environment. How do you think 2023 is going to pan out for businesses in Malaysia?
Globally, the outlook is definitely not as great as we hope it would be. But I mean, there is a little bit of hope with the recent change in government as well. In fact, I must say that Malaysia is also going through a turnaround.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, with the new leadership, it definitely looks like there's been big changes being made. And the country as a whole is definitely going through.
Okay, just like, you know, using your own mantra, the plan must be consistent and no changes has to happen. But yeah, you know as well as I do, we've gotten a bonanza, 2 elections and 4 governments last I checked, and 3 prime ministers in between, 4 prime ministers actually. Yeah. Do you feel that there is a stability in terms of how this country is going to be governed versus the kind of impact that it has on businesses? Where does the correlation lie when it comes to business and politics in this country?
It is very, very correlated, I would say, right? An unstable government makes it a very unstable environment for us in the business field, right? So stability is something we business people always look for, right? It doesn't help, right? Especially after COVID, I wouldn't say there's a recovery yet, right? I mean, of course, well, most of us are back on track, but there's a lot of them who could not come back on track, right? So stability is very important. We can't have policies changing on a month-to-month basis, right? So there's a bit of glimmer of hope ever since the change of government, and I hope it stays on that way.
But because of that, do you feel a little bit of optimism, or you're really seriously concerned about how this year is going to pan out for businesses?
It's optimism. I was being optimistic at this point.
Really?
Yeah, I'm being optimistic.
One of the rare ones, I suppose.
Yeah, I am rare.
What would be some of the 2 or 3 things that you think is important when it comes to maintaining this optimism?
Policies. Policies are definitely very important. We need decisions that are going to benefit the economic sector. We cannot have decisions just being made to seem popular. It must be really policies that are going to help the businesses grow. Right?
One key positive coming out of this, I don't think it's key positive, I guess one change that we can see coming out of this is that people are turning to entrepreneurship a lot more. There are a lot of issues when it comes to entrepreneurship, plus the challenges, but the reward can be extremely high. What would be some of the challenges that you think entrepreneurs got to think about for this year?
Okay, so I think I say this because I also faced it during COVID. I think we need to have a bit of reserves when you want to run business, right? I may get a policy after COVID, all businesses to have 6 months cash flow, right? Because the lockdown really taught me as well, right? Because we run multiple entities. Overnight, you were asked to stay at home, right? And we were not prepared to work from home. Right, we were very used to this personal touch, physical, face-to-face meeting. Suddenly, I'm talking to a webcam, you know. So a lot of things changed, right? So I think to prepare ourselves, 3 to 6 months is very important of having that cash flow in a business. It's easier said than done. I know I've started with nothing. So when you're starting a business, it's hard to have that reserves. But I think every entrepreneur should try to have that reserves so that you don't do moves in when you're panicking.
Cost of capital is rising, interest rate is rising, the ability for banks, the ability for businesses to secure loans from banks is easy, but it's pricey. And then, of course, if entrepreneurs are trying to find capital through venture capital or private equity, it's also pricey. They would demand more equities. Generally speaking, the cost of doing business, financially speaking, is actually quite high. How do you think entrepreneurs need to manage this whole high cost of business environment?
I think I beg to differ on the access to capital from the banks. I always find it tough when we approach the banks, right? This is just my personal...
Of course.
Yeah. I always feel that the banks are a bit more risk adverse. So the other options, like you mentioned, venture capitals and whatnot, they are now mushrooming a lot in Malaysia, especially the new ones. There are a lot of new ones mushrooming. You can definitely pitch your ideas to them. There are more investors who are willing to take risks these days. So I see that more common nowadays, especially in the startup scenes, right? These are becoming very common nowadays. So rising capital costs, definitely. I mean, even our housing loans are going up. So I think that's something we need to manage in our business, right? There's always going to be cost to capital, and we cannot be turning down the capital just because of the
cost.
Yes, yeah. You need to manage it, right? You need to manage it. You need to know when you need to say no, right? If it's too high, if it's not possible for you to generate enough to cover, then you should turn it down.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, final word, Vivek, before we conclude our conversation.
I just hope more businesses take approaches in doing turnarounds towards their company. Perimeter checks are very important on an annual basis.
What do you mean by perimeter checks?
Just checking your risk meters in your companies, right? Mm. You don't take it for granted because it can happen overnight. So it's always good to check the parameters of the company.
Thank you very much. Okay, that was Vivek Sachindran, the Managing Director of VAT Capital Sdn Bhd. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for the interviews there. Also, we have plenty of resources, not just on my show, Notepad, but of course on our sister show called Niaga Awani that airs weekdays every morning at 9 a.m. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.